Blog Talk Radio.
In a little tent, and oh, just like that river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. But I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Keeps telling me don't hang around. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes it will. So now I'll go to my and I say, brother, help me see. But somehow he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there were times I thought I wouldn't last. I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Yes, it will. Oh, I know a change gon' come. I said I know.
Cut you off, so we're going to go straight into the show, and the show is titled
house on fire, the rise and fall of empires. All praises due to Allah. That is a befitting title for what we are watching and what we see today when it concerns the Western world and when it concerns America specifically and especially because now judgment is after her. You know, I was listening to some pundits. I think it was yesterday I was. And they were talking about the situation that America finds herself in with the great division, the class war that's going on, the racial division, the race war that is building up to a crescendo. And they were talking about America, she has stretched her military so far and so thin that she does not have the capability or the capacity to compete with her peer rivals, which are China and America. Wonder why is that? Because I could have swore that a man from Sandersville, Georgia, taught us that this time would come. See, a lot of you, when you're looking at all of these incidents going on, when you're looking at all of these things that are taking place, you always try to rid Elijah Muhammad out of his proper place. You always try to give everybody else credit to the situation, and you never, ever give Elijah Muhammad credit. When we talk about the collapse of the dollar, when we talk about fiat money, we talk about money having no currency, you like to go listen to Peter Schiff and Mark Farber and Jim Rogers and all of these people, and you give them your ear, you give them your time, but you don't give your ear and time to the man who taught this from the 1930s all the way up to right here, right now, when these people were irrelevant, some of them were not even on the scene. And if they were on the scene, they were not in the financial arena, or these people were not in the geopolitical arena, and they were not even thinking about the things that we are now going through here in America and around the world. So first of all, first and foremost, we got to give credit to where credit is due. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us all of these things. When you come to the Star and Crescent Report, or when you go to the Red Pill Diaries, whether it's on Patreon or whether you watch the shows that we have intermittently on YouTube, and we bring out these facts, what we're showing you is that from the Rosetta Stone, this didn't come to us by chance. This didn't come by accident. So this Rosetta Stone, this blueprint, this map, whom we call Elijah Muhammad, laid out all of these things prior to and before any of these events took place. Especially when you're talking about the gold. When Muhammad says, the gold in Fort Knox has been gone so long they don't know what it looked like. And what is Ron Paul talking about today? Huh? The gold, Fort Knox needs to be audited. We don't even know that there is any gold in there. This is what Ron Paul said. The 20-year congressman, and who is a doctor by trade, and who sat on some of the committees that wanted to put constraints on the Federal Reserve. Now, remember these dates, because these are very important to all who are listening, because we're going to get into a few clips, and we're going to get into some scripture, and we're going to get into some of the quotes from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to prove to you that where we live right now, where we stand right now in time, here in America, and in 2021, all the way up to 2025, and maybe even a little bit beyond, if it's Allah's will, that Elijah Muhammad had already informed you of what to expect. He already told you how to prepare for this. This is not coming from Rashid Muhammad. This is not coming from some spectator on the side. This is coming from the Lord of the worlds through the mouth of his last apostle. So what we're living in is the house that is on fire. America is on fire. And I'm not talking about in a way that will further her profession, further her hegemony, further her politics globally, or further her economics. She's on fire. She's a house ready for condemnation to be condemned. Since I'm talking about that, something just came to me. Let's go to the Bible real quick. Okay? Bear with your brother. Because we lay out these facts. Here we are. Here we are right here. Woe to the rebellious children. Right? That's you. That's you. I'm going to read something for you. Where is it, Rap? It's something on my mind. Hold on one second, brothers and sisters. I'm going to something. Since it's on my mind, I'm going to go there because the Lord is leading me there. Okay, here we are. came to me. I want to, we're in Isaiah, and it's just a short quote. It says, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. I'm going to say that again. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. What does that have to do with what I was just talking about? The title, House on Fire, The Rise and Fall of Empires. What we're looking at is God mastering the grand chessboard, or this geopolitical and economic and this political chessboard that you're looking at. And he is forcing the nations to war. So why would God do that? If God is a peaceful God, why would he do such a thing? Because God wants peace, and the only way to bring about peace is to rid the world of the troublemaker and the warmaker. So he breaks their power. How does he break their power? Through war, whether it be economic, whether it be militarily, whether it be politically or technologically, all of the armies of the world are now in play on the battlefield of life. And this is leading to America being that house on fire. And it leads to other nations rise and the fall of the empires of Britain and America and the Western world. That's what we're watching. That's why I often tell y'all, it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean that with all my heart, from the bottom of my soul to the extents of the universe, that it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because when you are that, you see differently than most people. The calculations are different. The manner in which you look at unfolding events, the manner in which you look at the economics, all of that is different in your sight than it is from everybody else. You can hear it in their talk, in their lingo, in their language, in their speech. Right? Go to one of the forums that's talking about, or one of these people, Peter Schiff, talks about the dollar collapsing. And talks about the Fed printing money and the liquidity crisis, right? When he talks, he acknowledges that there is no way out. And there's a mathematical impossibility for there to be a way out. And then he goes, because he is not endowed with the supreme wisdom or the supreme insight of what is going on today, or he does not understand prophecy in such a way, he then lays out a little hope. Well, when this takes place, we're going to go through a little problems, a little pain, and then we can rebuild. That is not the way this ends here. This does not end where you will be able to be rebuilt, because we're moving into something totally new. And this is something it's hard to get across to most people, because they have fallen in love with that which they're in. But if you have fallen in love with that which you're in, and you refuse to see something better on its way, then you yourself have been trapped and lost into a world that is dying. House on fire. The rise and fall of empires. We're going to go to a clip here, because I'm going to try to get some stuff into perspective. I want you to see what I'm talking about. I don't just want to talk to you about and just give you a view, and you go back and you shun the view, or you say something like that. I'm going to let you hear what they have to say about the time that we're living in. And when you hear Gregory Mannarino, I'm going to play him first, okay, and how he talks about what is going on will be biblical, all right? He's talking about it will be prophetic, right? It is a divine actual or a divine reality that cannot be avoided. In words, he's telling you that it will be like a judgment day that's coming to America, that's coming to the world at large. Why? Because this world has to be removed, and first the greatest and the grandest and the richest pillar of this world must be removed as I told you before on one show, whenever they're getting ready to blow or implode a home or implode a building, they put the dynamite in such a way, they lay the dynamite in such a way as to blow pillars by pillars by pillars so that the house can pancake down, so that the people on the outline of it will not be affected by the destruction and fall of a building. So they lay at the base of the house or the building, the weight-bearing pillar. They lay this destructive devices or explosives there so that they can have what they call a controlled demolition. Most people say that this is a controlled collapse of the economy, that this is a controlled collapse, fall of the architecture or the order of the white world. This is true. But it's not being orchestrated by the Pentagon. It's not being orchestrated by the Federal Reserve. It's not being orchestrated by the central banks. This is being orchestrated by the grand strategic military mind, which is Almighty God, Allah, in the person of one, Master Farad Muhammad. And now he is pulling it. When they get ready to call, they say, pull it so it can fall. And you hear explosions, boom, 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 and the building pancakes down. That is what you're seeing today. So when some of the economic minds say that this is a controlled demolition, they are right. But it is not being controlled by those who have benefited from the system. It is not being controlled by the Fed or the central banks of the world. This demolition is being ushered in by the Lord of the world. But I want you to hear what Gregory Mannarino has to say. And sometimes he gets exasperated. And when he's talking on here, right? I want you to hear this. This is about 9 minutes. I'm going to try to get this clip in so that we can keep going, okay? Listen close to this.
Okay, everybody. It's me, Gregory Mannarino. It is Wednesday, September 1st, 2021, and it is not a good day here in the United States. That's the truth. What am I talking about? People, as you would probably have expected if you understand what's really going on here, we got this jobs report for the entire month of August. Now, the economists, these people, there's something seriously wrong with them. They expected this big blowout number, like 600,000 jobs for the month. Okay. Apparently, we added just 374,000. Now, again, we are not just talking about numbers. We're talking about people. Wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to get this other big number, first-time unemployment claims, and it's going to be epic. So, again, going back to what we all know, I believe, is going on here. Our economy is so, well, it's done. It's 100% over, and that's just the way it's going to continue going. But how about this? Again, let's put this into perspective real quick. I'm sorry I'm laughing. It's just, it's so overwhelming. They expected an additional 600,000 jobs. We got like 374. It's probably way worse than that. That's what they're letting us know, about 374,000. But that was enough to push stock futures higher. Stock futures right now are higher across the board. There's the paradox that you and I see every day. Over and over and over again, it will not stop. Every time we get one, two, three, four rounds of bad economic news, the market loves it. It gets all excited about it because it realizes the Fed is going to keep, you know, artificially supporting everything, creating distortions across the spectrum of asset classes like you know all about. But I tell you every freaking day. All this, people, is going to correct to a fair value at one point. And we know when, pretty much, not to the day or to the week, but just by watching the dynamics that we pay attention to every day that I have explained to you. You know, let's go over that real quick. So, on top of, this is so bad, this particular round of economic news. Again, these are people. These aren't just numbers, okay? And it really gets under my skin. So what that means is the Fed's going to keep, you know, fulfilling their end game, buying it all. So let's look at the four dynamics as the setup for the market today. Number one, the biggest key to the four dynamics that are supporting this market, 10-year yield, 1.30. Market loves that. Okay. Number two, the dollar. The dollar is a little weaker right now. Market likes that too. Crude oil. Crude oil is flat, maybe slightly higher. You know how this works. The market wants crude propped up. It's the lifeblood of the market, lifeblood of the military-industrial complex, period. And four, the Fed's balance sheet. It's going to keep ballooning. So the setup for the market this morning, I wouldn't say it's great, but it's not bad. For the people, it's horrible. Again, big miss. I mean, abysmal miss. Let me ask you while we're talking here. What's your take on this? Because we understand that time and time again, these economists, they're wrong. And they're wrong big. They're not even wrong little. It's insane. Are they drinking the Kool-Aid? Do they actually believe the propaganda that's being spread by the mainstream channels here? We're doing great. Our economy's booming, blah, blah. Are you kidding me? Really? Like, if this isn't proof positive, and wait till tomorrow when we get this first-time unemployment claims number. It's going to be just abysmal. But again, think about it. When you look at these things and you hear these statistics, these aren't numbers. These are people behind them that, you know, they're really hurting people in this country, and it's a terrible thing. I hope, and I know they're not doing it. They're not taking action to protect themselves. Most people right now have no clue at all as to what is going on, really. They're buying the narrative. I suppose the whole thing, this shit show, because that's what it is. It's an absolute shit show of the highest possible order, and it's all just lies, all of it. But you and I mean, we get it, and we are taking action at least to protect ourselves in this hyper-bubble environment, and it's going to correct people. It's going to. It's just a matter of watching the dynamics I explain every freaking day. So we can stay ahead of this curve. I don't know. Look, it's a terrible thing. It really is. It just got to me today, this morning. I'm sitting here and I'm watching these numbers come across the screen, and I'm like, oh, man. It makes me want to puke, I'll be honest with you. It really, really does. Anyway, and this is, again, not just a phenomenon here in the United States. This is a global phenomenon. And it's affecting the world. But again, understanding the dynamics, the real dynamics under here, realizing what's going on, understanding that we have no representation here in the United States or anywhere else. It's the banks running the show. I say the same thing all the time, but you all know that. I just want more people to understand it. And that's why I count on all of you to share this work, to get it out there, to let people understand what's going on. And again, look, I sit back here and I try to put this into perspective for you, all of you, so you can understand how you can protect yourselves. Because we are marching into something that is going to change the landscape of the world with regard to the financial markets. And it's going to affect real people on a biblical scale. On a biblical scale. I'm not kidding you. So that's why it's so important to take action now, to understand what you need to do to stay on the right side of this. And that includes, you know, staying along the market, okay? Owning, possibly if you can, large cap dividend paying stocks. Obviously, betting against the debt, becoming your own central bank. I've said this since day one, and that means, you know, holding physical assets, gold and silver, looking, you know, in spots where assets are massively suppressed in value deliberately, you know, in a risk-on environment like we have now, you need to look at risk-off assets, and that includes gold, silver, platinum, palladium, cryptocurrencies, and crude oil. I mean, even though crude oil right now has no bearing on reality, it's something real. And we understand how the military-industrial complex, the banks, have this rigged by to the highest order. They will prop up crude oil by any means necessary. If that means they have to start a new war, unrest around the world, you know, bombings, and you know, you think this is really, you know, these terrorist organizations? I tell you, man, it's something else. People, look, this is the first. On the first of every month, I really need you.
So listen, did you hear what he was saying? He told you that it would be biblical. He told you, he talked about the situation at hand and how that things will just deteriorate on a scale unlike things that you've ever seen before. But I want you to go over to some definitions, because sometimes when people talk to you, you understand what they're saying. But it's another thing when you understand the words in depth of what they're saying. And when you understand the words, sometimes conversations take on a different meaning. You know how you can shoot the breeze with your friend and certain words, because you know this person and you know their mental thinking, when they say certain words, it's just a light conversation. But a person that is heavier, when he says those same words, you know where his take is and where his mind is, so you consider them in a different way. Well, that's the same thing here. So when these white people are talking, and they do talk amongst each other, when they're talking, a lot of times you get the byproduct. You're just there. You're hearing what they're saying, but you're not really getting an in-depth understanding of what they're saying to their brethren. Because you just listen and you take it, and you may just get the brunt of what they say and you keep pushing. But let's go into some words, okay? And then we'll go back to a clip. He said, this thing is done. This is what he said. This thing is done. D-O-N-E. And according to the dictionary, right, done is an adjective. And it says, of food cooked thoroughly, cooked, ready, cooked through, tender, crisp, browned, over, at an end, finished, ended, concluded, terminated, see, settled. So, what is he talking about when he's talking about the financial order? It's over. It's done. It's concluded. It's finished. It's settled. How can it be settled if it is continuing to march on? It is, and I often tell you, what we're living in is the after effect of the cobra's head or the rattlesnake's head being cut off. You know what they do when they cut off a rattlesnake's head? They bury the head because the head still can inject venom in you. And it still snaps. It still moves. And the contortion of the body continues hours after the snake has been separated from the head. And death is settling in. But the muscles are still twitching. They're looking for connectivity back to the brain. And it's only a matter of time before the head loses its potency, and the body itself stops its twitching. But in the meantime, it will still do that, and it will still look to the average person as if it's alive. Right? That's the same thing that is going on in the financial system. That's the same thing that's going on in the political system. That's the same thing going on in the military and geopolitical spheres of things. The empire is being separated from its senses. The empire is being separated from its body. And what you see, Europe and the Western world's contorting and twisting, right? And you still see in America, the head of it lashing out with its venom, right? Even though it is being separated from its body, which is the Western nations, right? Don't you see a great divide between America and her white or European or Western nations? That's no coincidence. This is happening on the order of God. And so, with that being said, and we know that this is causing the house to be on fire, We're looking at, you're witnessing, and I don't know if you understand the depths of what I'm saying. You are living in a time and you are witnessing the collapse and fall of an entire world order on a scale unprecedented. In this time, even though it's hard, you should be happy because you are also heirs to and heirs of a new order or a new world that is being ushered in. Now, with that said, there is an interview given by Mr. Peter Schiff to this lady, I forget her name, but I'm going to come back to this clip because I want you to understand the depths of America's despair. I want you to understand the depths of the plight of the Western world, their financial order, which if they have no finance, they have no military power to project. What is that old saying in the black neighborhoods? Romance without finance is a nuisance or something like that, right? So this is the same thing. Without finance, she is no longer beautiful to her friends or her enemies. All right? Babylon has to then sit down in the dust. That virgin doll, there is no throne for her anymore. This is the book in real time. Okay? But I want to get back to something real quick. Because when Mr. Gregorino was talking, Manorino was talking, and he gave us the word done, he also said, man, it's over. It's over. Right? And according to another dictionary, the Urban Dictionary says, when something is over, finished, done, not starting again. That's what it says. So if he's talking about the monetary system, if he's talking about the financial system, if he's talking about the banking system, if he's talking about the political system and the military system, he's saying that it is over, finished, done, not starting again. It is coming to its end abruptly. Okay? And then he tells us, man, this will be biblical. So what is he referring to? Biblical, the word biblical is an adjective, right? And the word itself means of, relating to, or being in accord with the Bible. Well, what is he talking about being in accord with the Bible? You know when Rome fell, right? You know when Babylon fell, right? You know when Egypt fell? Egypt just didn't fall out of the blue. Babylon didn't fall out of the blue. God went after her finances. He destroyed their money. When all of these great empires had exceeded the limits, God brought them to their knees. But he did it in a mathematical, precise way. He destroyed the way of their finance. He destroyed the confidence in their economic system, in their culture. We are looking at that right now. This is why you hear Gregory Manorino constantly referring to the situation at hand as being biblical. Because it will not just affect one person. It will affect an entire world. Because the entire world is adrift with dollars. So when America sneezes, other people will get a cold. This is why China is trying to insulate itself from the coming dollar decline and economic collapse of America. This is why you see the Asian nations pivoting themselves towards their own financial markets, their own financial system. They've already made up their own alternatives to the World Bank. They're all alternatives to the International Monetary Fund, to SWIFT, to the London and New York Stock Exchanges, right? Am I telling you a lie? And just today, when the show was started, I was getting everything together, and I was scanning the news. And in the news, this this is what was being reported to go along with what I'm saying, to show you that we are living in a change of worlds, a change of power, a change of positioning. It says, this is the title, this is the headline. Chinese President Xi Jinping announces plans to establish stock exchange in Beijing. Why would he do that? They've already established the Shanghai Gold Exchange. They've already established carbon exchange. They've established every kind of exchange that the Western world has. They've done it. Why? What did Elijah Muhammad tell you? That the yellow man, the China man, would chase down this white man, this American white man, in everything that he dominated in. Is Elijah Muhammad lying? Well, we see the proof of his words in real time. Okay? This is no coincidence, especially as the gold reserves switch from the west to the east. Why would they do that? To insulate themselves as much as possible from the coming biblical move of a decline of the living standards of the Western world, the collapse of the Western monetary system, and an economic collapse the likes that you have never even imagined. It says, at the moment, the shares of a majority of publicly traded Chinese companies are listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, the fastest growing stock exchange in the Asian region today. Stop right there. Could that be why England was so hesitant to give back Hong Kong? Could that be a reason why? You may say, why did England give back Hong Kong? Because China made a statement to them. It is time to come home. If you will not give us back, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is the gist of what the Chinese said. If you don't give back what is ours, we're going to take it. We will take back Taiwan. We will take back Hong Kong. We're going to take back Macau. If it does not return to our hands, that is our land. Right? They had no choice. And the same thing you see now is building to a crescendo with Taiwan. I hope you're listening. This is biblical. This is prophetic. This is Elijah Muhammad. This is the reality of the time. Okay? So, again, he talked about biblical. Then he says, sooner or later, the markets will correct themselves. Now, see, I listen to what people say, and I listen to the wordage that they use and how they place certain words. Okay? And he said, it will correct. Well, according to the dictionary, the word correct is also an adjective, right? I want you to just listen. Listen to me good. Give your brother time. We haven't had time to talk to each other on this show, and we haven't had time to talk and converse with each other on the Star and Crest, on the Red Pill Diaries, neither. So you're going to give me a little time, okay? And be patient with your brother. We're just getting started. So he says, the market is the value is out of whack. It's overvalued. And it must correct to a fair value. Okay? I want you to listen to that. It must and it will correct to fair value. So the word correct is an adjective. And according to the dictionary, the word means free from error, in accordance with fact or truth. Stop right there. We'll go into the other stuff, but we got to address that part right there, right now, okay? To be free from error or to be in accordance with facts or truth, right, is the base of what the word correct means. So now if we're living in an incorrect error, an incorrect monetary order, or incorrect political order, or incorrect global architecture, then it is not free from error, it is error-filled, and it is not in accordance with facts or truth. Is that not right? According to the definition of the word correct. And if that is the truth about the matter, then isn't Elijah Muhammad vindicated when he tells you that this is a world of white Walt Disney. This is a world of technology. They turn truth upside down and make truth appear wrong and wrong appear right. Because if he's right, and he is, right, then he's being vindicated with the words of these people. And if he's right, which he is, and the system itself is in error, I would say I would go further. The system itself is not in error. The system itself is error. Do you understand? And therefore, there is no correcting this system. It must be totally uprooted, gutted, and removed. But if we just take what Gregory Mannarino says, there with you, brother, the market must correct. That means that it stands in an incorrect or wrong position. And its positioning and standing, it is not in accordance with facts or truth. So you're looking at a mirage, an illusion, a lie. And it goes and gives you words that are similar to the word correct. The word correct means right. So that means the system is wrong. The word correct means accurate. So that means that the system is inaccurate. The word true is related to correct. So that means the system is untrue. Right? And if it's exact, then the system is what? And if it is precise, then the system is imprecise or unprecise. And if it is unerring, then what does that say to the system? It is an erring system, right? And then it says that the word correct can also be used as a verb. I know you don't get this like this much, okay? But I have to give it to you like this. Because we are in a time now where we have to tell the truth. We got to put it out there, okay? The word correct is also a verb. And it says when it is used as a verb, it is to put right. It is to put right an error or fault, to rectify, to right, to amend, to remedy. So we know the system itself is in error, right? So this is why when the correction comes, Gregory Mannarino kept telling you that it would be biblical. Because God's word is right. Is that not right? God's prophets are right. God's messengers are right. God's purpose and aims are right. And is opposed to the system in the world that is in error. Therefore, we have a judgment. Okay? All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we give you these facts and we break this stuff down to you, word by word, so that you can clearly understand what this man is saying to you, so that they cannot bamboozle you or mislead you anymore. Because once you, it's something, I'm going to tell you something. It's something when you think you understand something. But boy, when you really understand and it sits down in your soul and it sinks in, you know how you read a book 100 times and then you thought you knew that book and then one day you had nothing to do so you went and you reevaluated and you reread and reanalyzed the book and then it sits heavier on your heart and you feel like you've got more out of that because now you didn't know that you didn't understand it. But when you get the understanding and a different perception of it, it weighs so much better in your soul and you say, I never saw that. I never saw it. I read this book 10 times. I saw this movie 20 times. I did this 5 times. But I never saw that. I never understood that. I missed that part. Right? So this is what is happening now. When you listen to the Star and Crescent Report, when you listen to the Red Pill Diaries, when you listen to these platforms, where the basis of them and the root of them is Elijah Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad's teachings. If you listen with a sincere and open heart, understanding pours in. And you start to look at things from a different perspective, one that you never thought you had. You know what I'm saying is true. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable, Elijah Muhammad. So when we get these definitions of words, when we get the meaning and the understanding of the time, we understand that America is up against insurmountable odds to try to maintain her sway and her power. I did an article a few days ago on the, a couple days ago, on the Red Pill Diaries. And I pointed out some stuff that's going on in the Asian world. Some of you that don't know what's going on, it's going to really shock you all. As a matter of fact, after I did the article, I started reading news clips the next day, and certain things was just happening that was in concert to the information that I received and put in article form, okay? And so, in another article I did was talking about the Middle East and something's going on. I was talking about the pressure that Russia, China, and Iran are putting on America in Asia and what they call West Asia, which is the northern tip of Africa, what they call the Middle East, and near Iran, okay? Article comes out today or yesterday bearing witness saying that America has removed some of her bases out of Syria, which bears witness to what I was saying in some of the premium articles. So if you go over there, you'll get you you'll get news before it even comes out. This is real. And we'll get back to what I was just saying about the Red Pill Diaries, but I had to bring that up just to let you understand that there's a paradigm shift taking place. A paradigm shift that is taking place. And unless you recognize that, you will be left behind, and you will be the loser. You will be. All right? So, for those of you who are listening to me, I ask that you listen openly and honestly. Forget your affiliation. Forget your religion. Forget all. Just for a second. Be apolitical. And reasons with the facts that are being laid out. Right? And then tell me whether or not we're lying to you. Because what is going on with America and the Western world, it is going to devastate their power. I see Rashid hands up. Rashid, check this out. You might have had your hand up for a minute or so. It just popped up on my dashboard. This devil, he's menacing, boy. Even in the time of his fall, this devil would not let up. He's unrelenting. Therefore, it takes a God that is unrelenting to remove this devil. So before I go further and I go into this clip from Peter Schiff that I was talking about, I told you I never lose focus of what I'm talking about. I just have to tell you certain things and connect these dots, and then we get back to what I was going to say. But it's all in line and all adds up, okay? So that's why I ask you all to bear with the brother. So before we go there, I'm going to bring in Brother Rashid, and I'm going to say that to my brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. How you doing today?
Brother, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, my brother?
I'm alive, black, and this day and time is a great day to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah.
Yes, sir.
Brother, you were talking about the book. If you read a book and then you get something different after you read it 100 times, time brings about different things. That's what you've seen 50, 60, 70, 80, and 90 is not what's happening today. Time brings about all things, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Also, as you were saying about the subject for the show, America on Fire, that's coming a little bit later, but literally fire is coming on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, we can't forget about judgments that's hitting America. On the West Coast, it is a drought so terrific, the devil say that you can't have these big cities without no water. You might have to move all of the people somewhere else because the western part of the America is running dry of water.
Mm-hmm.
And on the East Coast, New York and New Orleans and miss all of that. Too much watch.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the message call that? The judgment. One part of the country, no water. The other part of the country, too much water. That's the judgments of Allah. And he is doing his job, whether you want to believe or not. Like the Megan said, just stick around a few days. You'll see who's doing and who's the loser. Family.
Walaikum salam. That's right, my brother. And what the messenger calls that, he says, this is what the scripture says, water and fire running side by side. So on the West Coast and in the Midwest, not just the West Coast, but the Midwest too, it's under terrific drought and wildfires. It's so bad that they are killing their own cattle because they cannot afford to feed them. They cannot afford to water their crops. Banks, Google this stuff, brothers and sisters. Google it. Banks are going, farms are going bankrupt at an unheard of rate in America today. And I played clips on certain shows from, last month when we were allowed to do the shows about what was going on in the farms, and they were talking about how they have never, ever seen it like this. And they're losing everything. And when you lose your farm, you lose your ability to provide food for your family and for your nation. This is a part of the judgment. This was one of the same, these are some of the same judgments that God brought about on Egypt and Babylon. Again, it goes back to what I was saying, that this is a judgment. And God goes at the base of their power. He destroys the currency. He destroys the economy. He destroys their cohesiveness and their unity as a nation. Look around. Now you see, there was a report that came out today from the Homeland Security saying they are looking at inwardly now at different groups because they might start a revolution, like when the colonel just got on the internet and he dared to hold the higher ups and ranks in line, and he told them, listen, this stuff right here, we need a revolution. You're not listening. You're not doing right. We are losing, right? So he resigned. And now he's out there pushing his own narrative, what Elijah Muhammad says. Huh? What did he say? I'm going to let you know what he says. So listen to me. So you won't say that Elijah Muhammad lies. Desolations. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live and the freedoms that they, and the privileges that they used to have. And this will make anger rise up in the mist. Huh? Did Elijah Muhammad lie to you? Or do we have proof and we can point to it? See, you didn't understand these things because time had not brought them about. When we're talking on this show, when we're talking about House on Fire, the rise and fall of empires, we never get away from the main subject no matter what we're talking about. And that is the theology of time and how time brings about these things. Because you couldn't see them in the 70s. You didn't understand it in the 60s. But today, you feeling it in your wallet, you're feeling it in your house, you're feeling it in your stomach, you're feeling it at a job if you still got one. Society is going to hell in a handbasket because this is the judgment. What did Elijah Muhammad say after he told you about anger rising up in the mist? What I am trying to show you is that the prophet Daniel cannot be wrong. Because this desolation that is determined to be poured on the most desolate is aimed at the place in which we now live. And just remember, because a lot of you got that short memory, because you don't want to accept nothing if it's against your boss. If it's against Mr. White Man, you don't want to accept it, even if it's slapping you in the face. He said, and just remember, and I add, in case you forget. And then he says, that you cannot expect paradise here in America. He says here, when such a condition of desolation is headed toward America. And since we cannot make prophets words other than the truth, we expect this desolation. And we are receiving this desolation now. It will be biblical, according to Mr. Gregory Mannarino, right? I know. Listen, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings are so easy to prove. He is so easy to vindicate that I understand, but I don't see from a naked eye why you would even reject it. Because it's right there in your face in living color. And so we'll get back to Allah breaking the power of the white man. Brother Rashid was talking about the West Coast. And Brother Rashid, and I added to his statement about the Midwest. And mind you, the Midwest and California produces a lot of America produce, you know, and this is the breadbasket of America. And without these areas, America would suffer harshly. And now on top of that, they have container ship. They did an article on a couple alternative news sites talking about the shipping problem. But Rashid was on the show several times telling y'all this. I'm telling you, listen, he got on the air and he was telling you about this stuff, about the shipping containers and all of that stuff on this show several weeks ago. And now the articles are starting to roll in about the situation with the freight, the container shipping problem, and how this will go into the next year, and how it will cause bankruptcy throughout all of the world with different businesses and stuff, right? Elijah Muhammad tells you that just one touch from the finger of God can bring such a mighty nation to his knees. We're watching this in real time. And while we're watching this, we're seeing America being inundated with rain on the East Coast, being saturated with rain on the Gulf Coast, where I'm at. Then after that rain comes an intense heat, because down here, you don't get no heat like down here. One minute you can get a soft breeze, the next minute feel like somebody got fire on your skin. And then in the Midwest and on the West Coast, fires and drought. You don't think this is judgment, and all of this is happening. Remember this. All of this is happening in that time, the 60 cannot exceed 70-year grace period. And why would that happen? When China is rising, when Russia is reemerging, when Iran is standing up, when all of the smaller nations are daring the empire. All of these burdens that America must bear come from the root cause of her mistreatment of the American so-called Negro. And until she gets her act right with us, God's going to bring her down to her knees with the judgment. He's going to force her to let us go. Same way he forced Pharaoh to let us go. This is what's going on here. He's going to break her economy. He's going to break her currency. He's going to break her politics. He's going to break her military. He's going to break her civilization. Because of her arrogance and imperial hubris. This is the day for that. Bro, I see Brother Rashid hand back up. I know he want to talk about the freaking, so I'm gonna bring him in. Brother, go ahead. Kick it.
What you were saying about the freight, what people don't understand is when they are offloading something in here, and there's a lot of ships out there, I think it was about 50 ships, the article said, you got ships leaving from China that's coming here that's on a schedule. So if you don't unload this right now, then the ships that's coming from China, they still got to come. It takes about, a month to get here. And then that bottleneck just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're saying is that because of this, freight prices are rising out of orbit. Prices are rising, and then people don't want to ship no grain or food out because they want to get them containers to bring in new products from America. And so what it is, he's damned if he do and he's damned if he don't. All of this is Allah putting the pressure on them. And it's a wonder to see how Allah brings down a world. This is not a little village or a little area or a little town or one little nation. back two or three thousand years ago, this is a global process that he brings down. And what did the scripture say? A voice from heaven called out and said, Babylon the Great is falling.
Yes, sir.
In the last 6,000 years, nobody has been able to capture the world empire like America. No, there's never been an empire like America. And when she falls, you're going to feel it in Timbuktu. Salaam alaikum, brother. I'll let you get back to your show.
Yes, sir, my brother. All praise to Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, so I was going to play the clip, but since Brother Rashid said something on this line, because we've been talking about these freight and container ships and all this stuff for the longest on the show, and now it's made it to mainstream media, but we've been telling you about this. So, since we're talking about this and how it has a connection to the economy, I'm still going to play the clip of Peter Schiff, but I'm going to play it after I read something for you, okay? So we go back to the Economic Collapse blog, and this article was published about a few days ago, August 25th, okay, by Michael Snyder. And the title of it is, The Shortages Are Global, and We Are Being Warned That They Will Intensify. So it goes and it says this, the global economy was supposed to be getting back to normal by now, but instead, more problems are erupting with each passing day. Stop right there. What did Honorable Elijah Muhammad say? When she thinks she's getting out of one trouble, another trouble will be right there on top of her. This is what Elijah Muhammad said about this instance in this time and this day and what's going on. And then Mr. Snyder goes and says, as I write this article, supply chains are all over the planet are in a state of chaos. The worldwide computer chip shortage is making things very difficult for thousands upon thousands of manufacturers. The process of moving product across our oceans has become insanely expensive and is often plagued by horrendous delays, and a lack of truck drivers is causing enormous headaches when it comes to transporting goods to retailers and consumers in a timely manner. We have never seen anything like this before. Let me repeat that. We have never seen anything like this before. And at this point, even CNN is admitting that the disruption of global supply chains is getting worse. The vast networks of ports, container vessels, and trucking companies that moves goods around the world is badly tangled, and the cost of shipping is skyrocketing. That's troubling news for retailers and holiday shoppers. More than 18 months into the pandemic, the disruption to global supply chains is getting worse, spurring shortages of consumer products and making it more expensive for companies to ship goods where they are needed. Earlier this year, some of the economic optimists were projecting that we would experience a tremendous economic boom. That's fool's gold they were selling y'all during the second half of 2021. But now we are facing empty shelves, shortages, and major headaches in the months ahead. Stop right there for a minute. So I did this little short brief on YouTube for the Red Pill Diaries, and I was in the Dollar Tree. And I had my phone, and at that moment I said, you know what, let me show the people exactly what is going on. Because if they see that the Dollar Tree is having problems stocking their shelves, if they see that the Dollar Tree is having problems getting product into the store, maybe this will help to open their eyes. So I did a brief, I don't know if it was about a minute or two, on the Red Pill Diaries. And I put up the video showing the shelves, the empty freezer cases, the half-empty shelves, and then how they would, on certain shelves, they would push the little product they had to the front to try to make it appear as though that the shelves were fully stocked. And I did a brief on that, and I got a response by somebody in France. And the person in France says, hello, we're from France. We have food shortages, listen to me good, as well in France. People need to prepare now. And he put now in big letters. So this is not just relegated or isolated to America. When we told you that Elijah Muhammad says that it will be a global famine, You are now witnessing this. And we also told you that Muhammad tells you in the theology of time that God went after this white man, right, for their mistreatment of you and I. And God intended to bring them to their knees. So he goes after their power. So he breaks their power to rule. How does Allah's power break their power to rule? And how does the messenger know this? The messenger says he goes after their trade. So if it's a chaotic scene with the shippers and the shipping containers and the manufacturers, right, and the stores, and there's a heavy burden on the dollar, do you not see that God is breaking their power to rule by breaking their economics, their trade, their finance? Let's go further. He says, and let me get a sip of water real quick. He says, Mr. Schneider says, but now we are facing empty shelves, shortages, and major headaches in the months ahead. One shipping executive that was interviewed by CNN says that things won't get any better until the first quarter of 2022 at the earliest. Wasn't they saying that last year, that things would not get better until the first quarter of 2021? That man can lie. He can lie his butt off, I'm telling you. But let's go further. Shipping companies expect the global crunch to continue. He didn't say the national crunch. What did he say? Shipping companies expect what? The global crunch to continue. This is God breaking their power to rule. You don't even understand that. That's massively increasing the cost of moving cargo and could add to the upward pressure on consumer prices. Now listen, if that is causing an increase in consumer prices because of these strengths, and then the dollar has lost, what was it, 80 or 90% of its value since 1971, and it's now the dollar is losing even more value, that means it's going to take more dollars to buy that thing that you used to buy. To give you an example, my son, I believe, or it could have been my daughter, went into the Dollar Tree, and she bought one of the little multi-packs of the little Reese's Pieces beads, right? And in the package, there used to be six in there. When she opened them, there were five, and on the package, it says five individually wrapped. It used to say six individually wrapped. So now you're paying more for less. That is indicative of pressure on the dollar. That is indicative of pressure on retail, because they have to give you less and charge you more. Okay? So it goes further and says, shipping companies expect the global crunch to continue. That's massively increasing the cost of moving cargo and could add to upward pressure on consumer prices. We currently expect the market situation only to ease in the first quarter of 2022 at the earliest. Haplag Lloyd, chief executive, Rolf Habenjansson, you know one of those Swedish names I can't get, said in a statement, recent statement, here in the U.S., quite a few experts are now making a very bleak prediction about the upcoming holiday season. They're making bleak predictions about this. Okay? Let me read it to you. Okay? Let me highlight this on my page. I like to highlight these things while I'm talking to you because certain things mean more to me as I'm reading, okay? So it says, but we are definitely not alone. Over in the UK, and I want you to listen to this data on here too, okay? Over in the UK, it is being reported that the worst supply chain crisis since the 1970s could potentially ruin Christmas. Stop right there, right? Where's the Fall of America? Right here. Let's go to Fall of America. And I know we read this, and we're going to read it again, and we're going to read that infinitum. We're going to show you that Elijah Muhammad is right and exact. The stronghold of the American government is falling to pieces. She has lost her prestige among the nations of the earth. Well, Elijah, well, Rashid, Elijah Muhammad, what you talking about? This man talking about the UK. He's talking about England. Listen, one of the greatest powers of the American of America was a dollar. Was, not is, was. The loss of such power will bring any nation to weakness, for this is the medium of exchange between nations. The English pound. Well, if we were just talking about the dollar, why did he bring in England and the English pound? Because they are interconnected, and they are one and the same, just like the New York Stock Exchange is one and the same with the London Stock Exchange. That's why when you see America galloping around the world for war, you see Britain galloping around the world for war. These are the two daughters of Babylon that must be brought to their knees. You hear me? So it goes further and it says, the English pound and the American dollar has been the power and beckoning light of these two great powers. But y'all remember something I used to tell y'all? When Elijah Muhammad approved of this sentence here, coming next, why did he put England's name before America? That is something to that. He says, but when the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. So why? What does that have to pertain to the supply chain? What does that pertain to the UK? Okay, the London Stock Exchange, the London Gold Exchange, is the number one gold exchange in the world. The prices can be manipulated through London, all right, and it can be manipulated through New York. So the markets in New York and London are tied together. This is what helps to give the dollar its power, along with the threat of military force against nations who refuse to accept the dollar. Right? Right? And it says this. He says, but when the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. Well, if these are the two great daughters of Babylon who are attractive to all the nations, what did the book say about it? God took away their beauty, and the nations were no longer attracted to them, right? And they had to sit down in the dust of humiliation and despair and poverty, right? Because there was no throne or no glory for them anymore. So he says in this article, the connection is this. But we are definitely not alone over in the UK or Britain or England or whichever one you want to use. It has been reported that the worst supply chain crisis since the 1970s could potentially ruin Christmas. What is the key thing here, the 1970s? What happened in the 1970s? This book, Elijah Muhammad, talked about the fall of America. What happened in the 1970s that connects England and America, that connects the London Stock Exchange with the New York, the London Gold Exchange with the New York Gold Exchange? What? Richard Nixon! When he took the world off the gold and silver standard in 1971, right? So now they're hopping back to that part. But we are definitely not alone. Over in the UK, it is being reported that the worst supply chain crisis since the 1970s could potentially ruin Christmas. Remember when Richard Nixon took the world off the gold and silver standard? Inflation skyrocketed. And there was like a chain of events in the economic sphere of things that cause people to go belly up. Right? I'm not lying to you. And it goes and says, one of the big problems that the British are facing is an unprecedented shortage in truck drivers and warehouse workers. Business leaders are begging for more EU workers to be allowed in the country because they believe that will help to alleviate the crisis. Empty shelves and shortages are now a daily reality in the UK, and some large fast food chains are now being forced to completely drop certain items from their menu. Stop right there. The article goes further. Excuse me. The article goes further. But isn't that a mirror of America? I'm asking you. Empty shelves and shortages are now a daily reality in the UK, and some large fast food chains are now being forced to completely drop certain items from their menus. Why? Because Allah is breaking their power to rule. How does he break it? He breaks their trade. He breaks their economies through breaking their commerce. You understand? You're watching this in real time. This is real time. And yet you don't want to see it. And Peter Schiff, he talks about it again. He talks about the situation at hand. Talks about the tenuous situation that America now finds herself in. But he says, if we do this and we do this, the Keynesian thing and this and this and this and this, then we could have done this, but this is the end of the road. They want to give you all this good stuff. Then he reflects and tells you, hey, this is it. They got to do you that. They can't just tell you straight up facts. They got to give you their hope, their beliefs, what they think. They mixed all that in with the facts so that you don't know which way to go. So I want you to listen to this. This is 7 minutes. God, dog, the time is gone. I thought we had like 45 minutes left. It's 15 minutes left. Oh, buddy, buddy, buddy. Let us go into, I had some more clips I wanted to play for you guys because we rarely get a chance to sit down and talk with each other anymore due to all the roadblocks and the stumbling blocks of Blog Talk Radio and all of these media platforms on the Internet and how they try to silence the voice of the Star and Crescent Report and the Red Pill Diary. But I want you to pay close attention to this, okay? Here we go.
Well, I want to dig into some of your economic viewpoints, and some of them are very, very powerful. But before we do that, can you kind of lay an overview of Austrian economics? Because the free market and capitalism, which you believe in, lay at the foundation of Austrian economics, and it's very different than the type of economics a lot of people are learning at universities here in the U.S. So can you kind of break that down in simplest terms just very briefly for us?
I mean, really, Austrian economics is astronomy, and what everybody is learning today at universities is astrology, right? It's all a bunch of nonsense. Austrian economics is real economics, and it basically has the focus on supply and savings, and it recognizes that, you know, the important thing is not the demand. Demand is infinite. Everybody wants stuff. The key is to produce stuff that people want, and where does production come from? It comes from capital. Where does capital come from? It comes from savings. So the important thing is savings. Savings drives capital investment. Capital investment drives production and productivity, and that ultimately allows consumption. The Keynesians have the cart before the horse. They think that demand is the key, and all their economic policies are designed to stimulate demand, and that's wrong-headed. We don't have to stimulate demand. Demand is there. We need to stimulate production, supply. And the free market does that, and the government interferes with that process. But also, one of the things that the Austrians understand is where the business cycle comes from, that it's not some natural flaw in the capitalist system, that the business cycle, the boom and bust cycle of recession, depression, is a byproduct of central bank artificial manipulation of interest rates. It's when the central banks keep interest rates artificially low, that's a rate that is below what the free market would put rates at. It leads to malinvestments and bubbles, and those bubbles inevitably burst, leading to the recession. And what the Austrians understand is it's the booms, it's these artificial periods of, you know, apparent prosperity that are the problem. That's where the mistakes are made. It's the bust, it's the recession that is the helpful process of cleansing the economy of the mistakes that were made during that phony boom. So the conventional wisdom is recessions are bad and the government needs to do whatever it can to prevent them. But the Austrians say, no, recessions are good. We need to allow them. Now, it's not that we want recessions, but once we make the mistake of creating a phony boom, the sooner that boom can bust, the sooner the problems can be fixed. But the way the Keynesians are, they never allow the problems to be fixed because when one bubble pops, they quickly inflate another one so that we don't have to deal with the pain of correcting the problems, but then we're ultimately going to have to deal with the greater pain of correcting even bigger problems. And I think that's where we are now. We have kicked the can down the road so many years by trying to delay the pain that comes from a real reckoning with these mistakes and malinvestments, that now when we ultimately have to pay the piper, which we will, it's going to be so much worse. And I think, you know, we're very, very close to that happening. I mean, I thought we were close a while ago, and it turned out that there was a little more can kicking that they could do. But if you look at where we are now with massive money printing, inflation blowing up, all the crazy stuff that's going on in the markets, from the meme stocks, you know, to the cryptocurrencies, you know, this has got to be the end of it. You know, the Fed is at the end of its rope, and unfortunately, it's the economy that's going to hang.
Well, going back to talking about the booms and busts you mentioned, you predicted the financial crisis in 08. You even made money on it. What lesson should we have learned back then that we didn't?
Well, you know, we should have learned, or, you know, there are probably some people that learned the lesson, but not the right people, not the people on Wall Street, not anybody at the Fed or not anybody in government or academia. But the financial crisis was a byproduct of artificially low interest rates and the mistakes that were made during that environment. And the Fed did that to get us out of the recession that followed the bursting of the dot-com bubble, which again was inflated by the same wrong-headed policies. And when that bubble popped, the Fed doubled down on those mistakes and inflated the housing bubble. It was quite obvious to me what the Fed was doing wrong and what the consequences would be. I warned about the coming financial crisis for years. And not only did I warn about the crisis that was coming and why, but what the government was going to do in response. And of course, I was right again. The government tripled down on its mistakes. And instead of learning from them, like, oh my God, we kept interest rates artificially low and too much money was borrowed to do non-economic things. We had too many people overpaying for houses. We had all people were consuming more than they should have because they thought they were richer than they were, because they were basing their wealth on these inflated asset prices that only existed because of the artificially low interest rates. So we totally distorted the economy. We created this massive bubble that was inevitably going to burst, and now we're having to deal with the consequences of all the losses from all the loans that never should have been made and never would have been made, but for our mistakes. Instead of learning that lesson, they just repeated the mistakes on a bigger scale. They didn't just raise rates to lower rates to 1%. They went all the way down to zero, and they left them there for, what, 8 years instead of like a year and a half, and they never normalized rates. The highest they got was 2% or 2.5% before going right back to zero, and they threw quantitative easing into the mix, something that they didn't even do during the housing bubble days. You know, they went all in and did that after that bubble popped. And so they have inflated today a bubble that is larger than the stock market bubble and the housing bubble combined. And it has done far more damage to the economy than either of those two bubbles. And therefore, the consequences when this massive bubble pops are far more severe than anything we experienced during the Great Recession that followed the bursting of the housing bubble.
Oh. You hear what he's saying about manipulation of the market and how the blowback effect is now coming. It's, they kicked the can down, but they can't kick it anymore. I wonder why. Because when we were playing clips from people in 2015, excuse me, in 2016, they were talking about can kicking and how America was constantly kicking the can down the road. And they thought that America couldn't kick the can down the road anymore. And now we're seeing that she was able to kick it because she knew she had so much room to maneuver. But there's a day of reckoning. Gregory Manarino called it, right? He called it a correction, right? And he said that it will be biblical. And he talked about the trade, right? I'm going to play something that was that's similar to what we're talking about. If you all would just grant me a few extra minutes, because I want to play a couple short clips, all right? And I know this will take us over time, but I wanted to get into the military component of this, but you know, you have to follow the dots, and then if you're able to get to it, because I wasn't expecting to read the articles and stuff like that, but hey, it is what it is, and that's what we do. I want to play two things from 2020, I believe it was, 2019 or 2020. One is a short one, and one is a longer one. One is like 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and one is like 6 minutes, right? And it talks about, one of them talks about 1971. Remember what we just read in the Economic Collapse blog? And one talks about the Shanghai Gold Reserve. Remember what we read on Sputnik News about China now are getting ready to start their own stock exchange too? All right? So I want to see how all of this stuff connects, because I want to read something also that goes in lines with what we were just talking about and what we were just reading out of the Economic Collapse blog. So I will let you see what Elijah Muhammad said. Bug just flew in here. I'm sorry, y'all. I hate the little gnats fly in front of you. It makes me mad. But listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says right here. They went to our homes and took us, brought us over here, and sold us between each other. This is the way our fathers were handled. Now God wants to deliver you and me and destroy them. So now that is the preface of what we're about to get into. That is the prelude to what we're about to talk about, what we've been talking about, but what we're about to address. Again, I'm going to read it. They went to our homes and took us, brought us over here, and sold us among each other. This is the way our fathers were handled. Now God wants to deliver you and me and destroy them. Well, Elijah Muhammad, I ask you then, if God wants to do this, then how does he do it? Muhammad says, be patient, brother. Just shut up and listen. And Muhammad goes and says, he breaks their power to rule. He brings to a knot their trade between each other. That is going on now. So you see the shipping containers, the problems with that. You see the pressure on the dollar. You see the trade between the nations are breaking down. You see Allah destroying America's economic prowess. Allah destroying the UK's economic prowess and prosperity. You see the European Union going down the drain because of debt on debt on debt. Elijah Muhammad gives you the reason why, because of how our fathers and mothers were treated. And he says God goes after them to deliver you and me. He breaks their power to rule. He brings to naught their trade between each other. That is what we're living in. That is real time. That is actionable intelligence in a day of the downfall of America. Brother Jerry, I see you up there, brother. You keep your hand up there. I'm going to come back to you, okay? Hold your thought for a second. Let me play this little short clip. All right, my good brother. So listen to this. This is about the gold exchange. Remember, this is either a year or two ago.
How do you think that this is going to shake out? What does this mean for the, is this any kind of a seminal moment with the Shanghai Gold Exchange fix and then the up and down, the teeter-totter price action? It's up overseas, it's down over here. What do you think this is signaling?
This is a seminal moment for the entire Western financial system. The teeny tiny, please understand that silver production over the course of a year is less than $15 billion. I mean, $15 billion today is nothing. And that, of course, is hand in hand with the gold market. This whole suppression scheme on gold and silver was brought about originally to protect or defend the reserve currency, the dollar, because gold is a direct competitor with the dollar. If the silver market blows up, and I shouldn't even say if, it's when the silver market blows up, that's going to blow the gold market up, and that's basically going to expose the fact that the West is a fraud, that the gold and silver markets were a fractional reserve Ponzi scheme. And that's going to blow confidence, and you'll see, in my opinion, you'll see derivatives blow up all over the world and markets will be closed in a couple of days. And of course, that goes directly to credit. The world runs on credit, and you going to Walmart each week or going to the grocery store or whatever, the stuff doesn't just appear on shelves. It gets there by several uses or layers of credit.
So this is the domino, pink, that gets knocked over.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's a silver is a teeny, teeny, tiny domino compared to the whole system, but it will lead to all the dominoes coming down. And China and Russia, they know this. As a matter of fact, this past week, RT Today put out an article that spoke of Western manipulation of the gold and silver markets.
He breaks their power to rule. He brings to naught their trade between each other. That's going on now. So China and Russia got wind of this, and they have started their own systems outside of the SWIFT, the U.S. and European-controlled global monetary system. They've started their own gold markets. They've started their own exchange markets. They even have their own oil and gas bourses. Even Iran has its own gas bourse. These are like exchanges to buy and sell petrol products. So what are we looking at? We're looking at the collapse of the Western world. Let me bring Brother Gerald in because I do want to try to get this last clip in. And it talks along the same line. So I'm going to bring the good brother in for a minute. I got to say to my brother, my good brother, I got to say, As-salamu alaykum.
Well, as-salam, back to you, my good brother. I guess I'm doing well, brother. All praise due to Allah. Once again, outstanding show, brother, with the knowledge in which that you're representative of the teachings of the one son of Elijah Muhammad. Messenger Elijah Muhammad, with those flames on the Fall of America book, to knowing exactly what he was doing, because America is literally on fire, brother, because out here in California, West Coast, it is literally, literally on fire.
Yes, sir.
literally, brother, it is on fire. And I wanted to touch on something you were speaking of in relation to the judgment of America, where the messenger says, Allah against whites. The American white race is the number one people from Allah's anger is directed against, as Jehovah's anger was against Egypt in the time of Moses. Jehovah's weapons of war used against Pharaoh and his people were the forces of nature. Flies, frogs, lice, diseases, rain, hailstorms, fire, water. And finally, the drowning of Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea. The same forces of nature are prepared to be against America with the following additions: terrifying storms, which now harass America, the loss of friendship of the nations, especially prepared enemy people under the name of Gog and Magog, whose skill and power will cover the earth for a while. There will be no friends for America, snow, ice, and earthquakes, even droughts and dust storms, the natural powers of water, wind, terrific cold out of the north, fire from the sun, agitation of the high seas by the magnetism of the moon and sun, which will aid in the destruction of America's sea power. Sins are greatest. This is true in the prophecy of Jesus. Read Luke 21:25, also Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, Revelation 8:7-8:9. American sins are the greatest. Her sins are even worse than all the nations on the earth combined. She sees and knows her doom is near, so she seeks to trick her slaves, the so-called Negroes, to share this doom with her, which she knows that once her slaves have a chance of escaping, so she hypocritically offers them social equality under the name integration, which she knows the blind, deaf, and dumb will fall for, while it is an open trap of death for both sides. My people do not recognize this, nor will they believe this until they are hurt or it is too late, or that is the end of Satan's world. Power over the black nation of Islam and must be told in the plainest language. This is the work of Allah, not you and I. Read your Bible and Holy Quran. America has always hated and mistreated her slaves, the so-called Negroes. Today she backs up the police departments through the country to beat and kill poor black men and women. I know you have just a short period of time, brother, but just to touch on some of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we all have to bear witness to exactly what is transpiring here in America with the hail, the droughts, the rainstorms, all of these things. And I don't know if you knew what was just transpired with the big flood in New York City.
Yeah.
With certain people,
in New Jersey.
Several people were killed. Yes, sir. In New York City now. This is, you know, fire on the West Coast, and then you got flood storms on the East Coast. Fire and water running side by side. Go ahead and continue on that marvelous, exceptional truth, black man. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir, my brother. Salute, my brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum.
Now, brothers and sisters, I want you all to give me just a few more minutes of your time, okay? I know your time is valuable, but so is mine. I put in a lot of work. I go look at all these different newscasts. I download the newscasts, cut up stuff just in case we might talk on a subject, do all this stuff. But I want you to pay attention again, just like I just played the thing from the Shanghai Gold Exchange. This also was in the same year. I want you to listen to this. This is 6 minutes. And I want you to often reflect on what we were just talking about how God breaks the trade, how God destroys the currency, how God turns them against each other. And all of this is to free you and me here in America first, and then our brethren and sisters around the world from the grip of this beast. So listen closely.
Serfdom, that's a guarantee. That's the American dream at this point.
Well, the American dream, of course, is that Horatio Alger myth that anybody could rise up and become one of the elites and one of the wealthy. And, of course, part of that is owning a home. So here's the data from the Federal Reserve that everybody's talking about online, which shows how the Cantillon effect drives this inequality in terms of whoever had their home in 1971, because even the data here in the CNBC article, they don't mention 1971 and what happened then, but they actually trace it back to 1970. So in terms of this inequality, households.
I had to stop it right there. Did you hear them certain dates? Huh? See how they trace them back, their walls to them certain dates? But I'm going to go ahead and replay it and let you listen, okay?
Serfdom, that's a guarantee. That's the American dream at this point.
Well, the American dream, of course, is that Horatio Alger myth that anybody could rise up and become one of the elites and one of the wealthy. And, of course, part of that is owning a home. So here's the data from the Federal Reserve that everybody's talking about online, which shows how the Cantillon effect drives this inequality in terms of whoever had their home in 1971, because even the data here in the CNBC article, they don't mention 1971 and what happened then, but they actually trace it back to 1970. So in terms of this inequality, household wealth, the median price for an existing home was $287,000 in April, up more than 7% from a year ago, according to the National Association of Realtors. These gains have disproportionately gone to the wealthy and white Americans. While 72% of white households own a house, a key source of household wealth, that's true for 42% of blacks, and 47% of Hispanic households, the Urban Institute said. This gulf between white and black Americans is greater than at any other point in 5 decades, according to the report. What happened 5 decades ago, 1970? What happened after that? So from that, the wealth, the money printing has created, it doesn't create real wealth. But in an asset-based economy like our own, a financialized economy, it puts the cash, the capital, into the hands of a few.
So it transfers wealth. So when you divorce the economy from a gold standard and you go on a pure fiat money standard and you have the creation, as we saw during the Reagan years, of the derivatives market and the separation of risk and reward, you have the ability for these top bankers on Wall Street to separate risk from reward, keep all the reward, and dump all the risk into the poor neighborhoods, right? So that's part of what we've seen, the financial engineering since the 80s, and has caused this incredible wealth divide. You know, when I hear the phrase Black Lives Matter, you know, I think what I would like to really understand is what Isaiah Jackson's talking about in Bitcoin and Black America, is that Black America will never be equal to white America. They will never have justice in white America. The only thing they can hope for is individual sovereignty, and the only way to get there is through savings in Bitcoin is the best way to get there.
But let's look at this system here, because it favored those who came, who had the assets in 1971. We just covered this in a recent episode. Here, their data is showing that even to this day, it continues. So we could take down every single monument that exists in the United States. We could, create new holidays. We could have corporate new logos saying that we support minorities, black people, women, LGBTQ, we could do all this. But the fact is, this system, no matter what we do, no matter how we try to rescue the economy, save the people, the pandemic is happening, trillions of dollars must be printed. The way the system works, basically the Fed can only give it to white, mostly white bankers on Wall Street. They get it first for 0%. Everybody else gets it, if you think of a river that starts at the top of the Himalayas, it's fresh, clean, lovely water at the top. By the time it gets down into, somewhere in India in a crowded city, it's polluted, it's dirty, it's horrible, right? Well, that's what happens to the money system here. But it happens generationally, too. So another bit of data that came out this week in terms of the generational thing is quite remarkable in terms of comparing generation, the boomers to the next generation, Generation X, to millennials. So the millennials, the oldest millennials are 39 this year. So they look at the data of how much wealth as a percentage of overall wealth in the economy millennials own today at 39 years old. Then they compare it to Generation X when they were 39 and boomers when they were 39. Boomers owned 21%. Of U.S. national wealth when they were 39, Generation X owned 7% when they were 39, and millennials, when they're 39 today, they own 3%. So again, this is that whole, the Cantillon effect, the interest rate apartheid, all of that stuff, because a lot of the interest rate apartheid comes from the fact that, the credit rating. So minorities, women tend to have lower credit ratings than white educated men, partly because they had the assets and the wealth in the back in the first place when we went onto this fiat system to build up the credit and to make sure they always had cash backing whatever loans they were taking.
Well, it's funny because I'm a white male boomer whose career is on Wall Street.
Yes.
Okay. I am.
I didn't want to point fingers.
I am the ground zero for this entire wealth and income gap and for this interest rate apartheid. And I'm saying, without equivocation, there's only two ways to restore justice. One would be to raise interest rates 500 basis points immediately so you get short-term rates back to 5% so that there's real savings and capital in the system. Or everyone who's on the wrong side of the interest rate apartheid wall needs to start saving. And they can do that in gold, Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is better. Okay, that's it. No statue. Tearing down a statue does nothing. Marching in the street does nothing. Electing people to office that you think are going to help you does nothing. None of that works. I'm telling you, as a white, male, boomer, Wall Street careerist, that I would laugh at that as my brethren would do. It does nothing.
Again, like Isaiah Jackson says, exit the system. You can exit the system because interest rates, that's their funny money. That's their fiat system. And whatever they want to do with their system, let them play with it and let them raise interest rates. Let them, do whatever. The fact is you have to exit the system because the system is inherently unjust.
We need to exit this person.
I'm sorry, business. But it's so easy to prove it all about Elijah Muhammad. Sometimes I just sit here while I'm talking to you brothers and sisters, and I just shake my head. Did you hear? There's no way to get justice by protesting and tearing down statues and demanding this or electing officials to office. He said, listen, I'm telling you, I'm a white man that's the beneficiary of the system. We laugh at that. The only way out is to exit the system. But Elijah Muhammad says, separation or death. Is that not right? I can't even leave off on a better note than that. So I'm going to go out the same way we came in. Remember, brothers and sisters, that I love you, but Master Farhad Muhammad, he will always love you best. In the name of his last messenger, the greatest messenger to ever live, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, I love you, I salute you until we next meet again. Stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
Said I like the moon I miss. Day to day the rosy